This tape has been made possible through the funding of Colorado Endowment for the Humanities. It is part of an oral history taping series on the Wet Mountain Valley, a gold mine of history. The subject of this tape today is Bill and Ines Falkenberg, spelled F-A-L-K-E-N-B-E-R-G. Ines is spelled I-N-I-S. The interviewers are Irene Francis and Errol Weimer. We are at the home of the Falkenbergs at 205 South 4th Street in West Cliff, Colorado. The date is in April of 1990.
It's Ines. That's where I got my name. That's the spelling, too.
Is that from Alaska?
Mm-hmm. But I don't know what her maiden name was.
No,
I don't know their birth dates or anything. But that was the oldest child of that family. And then there was a daughter, Catherine. It would be the C, because it's the Irish spelling.
Yeah.
Her birth date was the 9th of August, 82. And she was married to Abe, I suppose it was Abraham, Kaufman, C-A-U, with a C, C-A-U-G-H. The Geyser mine was operating, and he was drugged to death with a pearl.
Yeah, we have that.
I remember
that.
Reading that in
the reflections. Before I forget, tell us about your grandma.
I just started to tell you about. She was only 17 years old when she was married. This is what I was going to tell you. It was kind of interesting. It has always been interesting to me. She was 14 when the family came into the valley, and they came up from with the Oak Texas Creek direction, and with a wagon and horse and buggy. I suppose they had a lot of buggies and stuff, because I don't know how many children were in the family. And when they came by what is now called the Clevenger Ranch out here on the it was the Beckwith Ranch, is what it originally was called. And they were having a hanging at that place that day, and people had come from all over the valley with picnic lunches for this hanging. And this body was hanging on this gallows frame when they came by, and my grandmother always told about how afraid that it made her, that this is where we're going to make our home. You know, she was old enough to realize they were going to live in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that...
Did she ever find out why the man was being hanged?
I suppose she did, but she never did go ahead and talk about it to us. She just, it just impressed her as a child, you know. Well, not, she was 14 is what she was.
How did they find this area?
Mining people. They were almost everyone who came in, except people who were homesteading and going to ranch, came in because of mining. In fact, that's the way both of my parents, grandparents, came in here. And my grandmother was, my grandfather, I never did know him. He died long before I was born. They were the first people who were married in this Catholic church that we have here now.
Now, is this
where is this now?
No. Uh-huh. It was in Silver Cliff. And they had just finished building it, and in fact, they had not, she said that there was sawdust and shavings and stuff in the church when they were married. Of course, I think most people didn't have big weddings, I suppose. Not anyone in areas like this, but those are the other places they did.
Was this barren?
Yes.
Did they mine in Rosita?
No. The Byrne family, my grandfather mined at the Geyser mine. In fact, that's how this boy was killed. My grandmother had packed his lunch, you know, in these old lunch buckets that they had that would keep a meal hot. They put hot water in the bottom of the a pan, a double bucket of some sort. And she fixed him a hot lunch, and then she put this, they had a carrier of some sort on this, with this girl, and she put this lunch bucket in this carrier. And this boy took it up to my grandparents lived fairly close. They lived in Silver Cliff, and it wasn't very far. And she fixed his lunch and sent this little Eddie up with to the mine with his dad's lunch. And this girl stepped in some hot cinders where they had been working with ore, and it burned the girl. And the girl bucked the little boy off, and the boy got caught in this lunch thing some way, and it drug him to death through these hot cinders.
Oh,
I don't know where I left off with that family.
Tell about the man that
collected all, acting as the registrar of vital statistics. He did it for just because he realized the value it was to people to have deaths and births recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And he published the Tribune. It's down in what we always call a bank building. Local
right.
people call
uh-huh.
it the bank building. This real estate group have it now. And he published the Tribune, and he had this check cashing exchange because we didn't have a bank here. Mm-hmm. And the merchants needed a bank. And the merchants would pay what, Bill? Probably $30 a year?
Well, part of the time they paid so much a check.
They would take their checks to him. People would pay accounts or buy something. And then Ray would deposit these checks in a bank. It was First National Bank in Canyon is who it was. And they worked greatly with Ray, a lot more than a lot of banks would do, because it was just too small an account.
Mm-hmm.
And he would charge people, anyone who belonged to the association, they called it, didn't they?
Right.
They didn't have to pay for
it's kind of like a little credit union kind of thing.
It was a kind of a merchant's association. And Ray did that. There was a charge, I don't even remember what it was, 10 cents a check about. It's just very, very small compared to money now. And like I said, on these birth certificates and death certificates, a certified copy, if they had to have it, I don't believe he got a dollar. I'm quite sure he didn't. And he'd have to go make a copy, take it to the courthouse, and have it certified, attested to before the county clerk or before a notary.
You're talking about making a copy,
typewritten copy.
I mean, we're not talking about running it through a copy machine.
No,
no, it was before a copy machine. Right. They had, what did they have? They had mimeographs,
mm-hmm.
something like that. That's the way copying was done.
Right.
But Ray just about did anything in that Tribune office to...
Was he left the area, or did he die?
He died. Uh-huh. He was married in his earlier life to this Nora Boss, Nora Canute, Johnny Canute's wife.
Okay.
One of her sisters was Ray's first wife, and there was a great deal of difference in their ages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how much, but just quite a difference in their age, and they had a lot, not a large family, but they had four children.
Mm-hmm.
And they separated. I suppose age had a lot of difference in their mm-hmm. ages. And Ray had several of the kids lived with him for a long time. He hired a housekeeper. And then in later life, he married Lucy Lilly. And she was she worked at the post office.
Didn't she have, some kind of soda shop or something?
Uh-huh.
Years ago.
Ice cream parlor.
Mm-hmm. Near your hardware store.
Two doors to the east.
Mm-hmm.
Was she in the back there at...
she was a single...
Seemed to me like she was kind of there in the back room there at Sue's building. Grandma's house for a long time.
For a while, she had a little
ice cream parlor in there.
Yes, and knickknacks. She She had a
variety shop up on the well, where the library.
Where the library is at.
The community building, where the community building is.
That
she
used
had
to
a
be
variety shop.
C.P. Lower's Dry Goods Store.
Mm-hmm.